Hello, everyone. This is Jack Heslin. Thank you very much for joining us today for our Drive to Level 5 podcast series. For those of you who have been following us, you know that once a week, between now and the end of the summer, we will be having one of our guest speakers at the Drive World Conference and Expo in Santa Clara, California, August 27th through 29th, will join us to talk about their particular topic in the area of autonomous vehicles and embedded systems. We've had some great discussions over the past few weeks with people from Sirius Radio and NVIDIA. And today we have a terrific guest who's agreed to share his time and thoughts with us. This is Timjen Shah, who will be giving a presentation on the morning of August 27th between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock on a really important topic, which is LIDAR. And we're going to get into what LIDAR is. Can it be effective in adverse weather conditions? So, Tim Shah, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, yeah. Jack?
Glad to hear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You're very welcome. And, you know, I thought before we get into talking about the conference and your presentation, it might be a good idea just to give some of our listeners an update on you. Your title on LinkedIn is IEEE Senior Member Powertrain Control Associate Architect, Autonomous mm-hmm. Vehicle Senior Engineer, Mitsubishi Electric Automotive America. How about, Timjen, give us, for a minute or so, give us a little bit of a summary. What all do you do there at Mitsubishi? What does all that mean?
Okay, sure. Yeah, Jack mentioned, so as you can see from my LinkedIn background, so I have a kind of different titles. So actually, that means I have a different, you know, the working experience, you know, in the automotive industry. So the IEEE senior member, which means, so I published a lot of papers. Yeah. So based on this, yeah. Jack?
Yep, I'm right here.
Okay, yeah.
So you do a lot of research into the autonomous vehicle field, and you've published a number of technical
right.
and engineering documents in that area, I'm guessing?
Yes, that's correct, yes. And not only for the autonomous vehicle, but also, so my experience included like a powertrain control. So which means for the autonomous vehicle development, so actually, it requires not only, you know, the know-how about the ADAS and the self-driving, and also the research and engineer, you know, should know the know-how about the, okay, like the perception and also knowledge for the self-driving car, yeah. So which means if people can have the different the knowledge, you know, for the comprehensive knowledge, so that will be better, you know, for people to understand how the self-driving car will work.
The knowledge, how it's all going to work, and we're going to get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
So this is really a perfect opportunity because, you know, when I hear about autonomous vehicles and how the evolution of the technology has taken place and where it's going, and I can actually relate a little bit of a personal story here, but
sure.
So LIDAR, for the benefit of our listeners, is an acronym for light detection and ranging technology. Now, where would you say that technology is today, and where do you think it's going to be in the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, you're very, very close to this.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So now, yes, as you said, the LIDAR stands for the light detection and the range technology. Simply speaking, so the LIDAR sensor, you know, will transmit the laser light, you know, then the laser light will reach the object, then get reflected, you know. Then the LIDAR sensor will receive this reflection, then to, you know, to calculate the distance based on the time of flight and also, you know, the light speed, yeah. So that's the kind of simple theory
yep.
for the LIDAR. Yeah, but, you know, for self-driving cars, so we have to use LIDAR to detect the object with a very high accuracy. Even up to like 2 and 3 centimeters. So So that required a lot of the, you know, calibration and also the detection and the tracking technology. So which means the LiDAR is a powerful, you know, sensor for self-driving car. Yeah. In next 3 and 5 years, so the cost for LiDAR, you know, will be reduced a lot. So which means the cost should be less and less. Then the self-driving car will see more and more the LiDAR applications. Yeah, I think.
So that's a real interesting point. You're saying the cost is as much a consideration as the advance of the technology. It's the two together. It's not just will the technology be good enough. Will it also be affordable? Is I think what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. In current situation, In current situation, because the LiDAR, the sensor, the production volume, you know, is not very large, because the not for many companies are using LiDAR sensor, but because the LiDAR is a very good, strengthness, and also the very good capabilities. So the LiDAR will see the more and more production volume in the industry, in ADAS industry. So we will see the cost will be, less and less. Yeah.
Understood. I'll bet that is an area where a lot of people don't think about it. They think about the evolution of the technology, which makes sense, but obviously there's that cost factor as well. Now, so I love what you said about 200, 300 meters ahead. Obviously, weather conditions throughout the course of the year vary enormously, and they vary, you know, not just from season to season, but from geography to geography. Is it really practical? Is it really like that in, say, a 10-year window, a system can truly be adaptive to that range of variability? Or is this always going to be we're trying to get better? Where can that realistically go?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question for LiDAR sensor. So, yes, currently, I think the LiDAR is developing quickly. So now, for some LiDAR sensor sample, we can see the LiDAR can reach even up to 200 meters or maybe the more than 200 meters. So I believe in near future, so the LiDAR sensor can detect, you know, further distance. Yeah, and also regarding the adverse the weather conditions, that's pretty challenging things to the LiDAR sensor. Because, you know, LiDAR will use nanometers wavelength, the wave, to detect objects here. Because that's very small, the wavelength, so even small particles, like, you know, the water drops and also the snow flakes, can block, you know, the laser. So, which means that in some adverse weather condition, or under these conditions, the light sensor may lose some, you know, reflection and detections here. But,
Well, I just wanted to clarify. I wanted to be sure I understood something you just said for the benefit of our listeners here. So one goal here is to have the sensors projecting ahead 200 to 300 meters. But at the same time, if I just want to be sure I understood you, you're saying the lasers have to be able to detect particles at the nanometer scale. Did I hear you say that right? Small part, or maybe I didn't get that right. If you wouldn't mind just clarifying that a little bit.
I can repeat and talk about this again. Yeah. So the LiDAR can detect further distance, like more than 200 meters, but in the severe or adverse weather conditions, like raining and fog, and also snowing. So because there are some small pieces like water drops and also the snowflakes, in the air. So this wind condition is not optimal, you know. It is not a very good condition. Yeah. But actually, no single sensor will be perfect yet. So we can use other technology to improve the detection quality in these adverse weather conditions.
What would you use besides a sensor?
For example, now people are developing the sensor fusion. By using the detection from the multiple sensors, like a LiDAR and a radar and a camera sensor. So the self-driving car will merge, will to get this detection from the different sensors, then do the fusion. So,
That's really interesting. And on a personal note, my wife and I bought a new car. Well, new for us, it was a 2016 pre-owned car. I won't say the make and the model, but a feature it has that I love is when I'm on the highway using cruise control, the front end sensor automatically keeps my car the correct safe distance from the car in front of us. I love that feature. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But last winter, on some days when there was a lot of slush, kind of warm days, I'd get mm-hmm. that warning on my dashboard that the front end sensor was, I guess, covered up, and I couldn't rely on it. I couldn't rely mm-hmm. on it to keep me the correct distance from the car in front of me. But there was a warning mm-hmm. light telling me that, so it wasn't really a problem. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it kind of gets into what we're talking about. That sensor was covered up with slush and snow. So with different technologies and redundant systems, hopefully issues like what I experienced last winter would decrease. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the goal, correct?
Mm-hmm. I guess
I'll buy that car when it comes out. I'll keep the car I have for now. So, so one of the people who will be presenting at the Drive World Expo is Tom Schalk, VP of Voice Technology at Sirius. And we had a really good conversation a week ago about how more interconnected the automobile mm-hmm. will become to the cloud, to cloud services.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of LiDAR technology and changing weather, is that technology always going to be solely within the car, or do you foresee a time when the LiDAR technology will interact with weather apps or road condition updates? In kind of a proactive way, so it can continuously update its driving capabilities. Is it ever going to be part of the cloud? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think the LiDAR sensor could be beneficial for some weather surveys because LiDAR can detect the weather conditions, like raining and snowflake. So because the LiDAR will show the different, the detection results, depend on the different weather conditions. So that can help the vehicle system to, detect the weather condition around the car. So that could be the useful information, to help the driver or the customer, to be aware of the weather condition.
So this is really interesting. So an app that I use a lot for GPS is Waze, W-A-Z-E. It's a very popular app. And Waze updates the route based on all the other Waze users in the area and predicting traffic congestion and times, and then it calculates the best route. So if I understood you correctly, you're saying as my car collects data about the weather conditions. It could be mm-hmm. broadcasting it out to a platform that other people can benefit from, while at the same time my car is collecting data about what mm-hmm. cars in front of us are experiencing in weather conditions. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, right. I think by using like a way-to-way technology, so the information collected or detected by the light sensor, you know, can be broadcast to other, you know, cars or other systems. Yeah, right.
That's really exciting. That's mm-hmm. that's really, really interesting. So in the description of your talk, you asked the question very directly, what happens when it starts to rain, snow, mm-hmm. or fog sets in? So let's talk about that as of today, where the LiDAR technology is in your most high-end cars. What does the technology do when it starts to rain, snow, or fog sets in? Where are we today?
I see. Okay. So in that case, so the LiDAR sensor could lose some detection. Detection accuracy. Yeah. So because that's the kind of the no good weather conditions. Yeah. But as well known, no single sensor, you know, is perfect. Yeah. So for example, for camera sensor, you know, cannot work well in dark condition, right? And for the radar sensor, and because the multiple parts and the multiple reflection, so the radar sensor is suffering some kind of low distance accuracy. Yeah. So in way, but if we combine these different sensors, so you know we can detect the driving environment, you know, in different weather conditions and also in the daytime and nighttime, and with high accuracy. So when we talk about the self-driving car, so we are not focused on only single component here. So actually, we are talking about the entire system. Yeah. So that can make our system more reliable and more robust.
As you make the system more reliable and more robust, as you collect more data to better understand what it's sensing, so you understand where you have to build it out further. That's a very evolutionary way to approach it, and I think that's really great. What do you think? And you've probably answered this already. You've probably addressed it, but maybe we'll just kind of get it direct. What's the biggest limitation of the technology today that is not cost related? What's the most a sensor or a camera can mm-hmm. do today that you think it's not good enough? What's the limitation? Where are we with that?
Yeah. So I think the biggest limitation for the sensors could be, you know, the reliability. Yeah.
Ah.
So which
reliability.
Means, yeah, reliability. Yeah. So in most cases, some sensor like a radar or LiDAR and a camera can work good, but is not in the complete site of the test scenarios, because some testing scenarios is pretty challenging, you know, for the single sensor. Yeah, that's true. Because when we recall, you know, our driving experience, so we can recall a lot of challenging, like heavy raining or heavy snowing, and also the very busy, you know, the traffic situation on highway. And also, you in downtown, we can see many pedestrians walking around, right? So in that case, that test scenario is pretty challenging for the ADAS or self-driving system to perceive, you know, to detect the different objects like the car, truck, and the pedestrian and also the motorcycle and the bicycle. Yeah. So So that's challenging. Yeah. So the self-driving car system. Yeah.
So detecting all the road hazards, detecting all the road conditions. So it's not just the weather, as you and I have talked about. It's all the road conditions. And that's a great point about the bicycle and the motorcycle. And that kind of ties into the driver trust in the autonomy of the vehicle. Now, I said a few minutes ago, when I'm on the highway, I love setting cruise control. I love knowing the car will keep its automatic distance from the car in front of me. I'm all on board. I'm on board with that functionality, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it can do in the years ahead. But I know people, and this always surprises me, who they don't use cruise control because they just they just feel they're not in control of the car. Even though, even though I say to them, the cruise control is safer, you know? You really do want to use the cruise control. And then I also point out that with the feature in my car, it's keeping me the correct safe distance from the car in front of me. Where are we, and this is a little bit outside the scope of your presentation, where are we with the psychology of the driver saying, I trust the vehicle as much as it can do today to be safer than if I drive it myself?
I see. So I think this is really a very good question. I think actually this question, the answer to this question actually is about okay, why we build and develop, you know, the ADAS system or the autonomous vehicle. So that's because the ADAS and the self-driving car can improve the safety, and actually you know the accidents, the many accidents. So the driver sometimes is not very focused on the driving behaviors, you know, by calling or do something else. So the driver's the failure of is not paying attention to driver behaviors will cause a lot of the accidents here. But by using the ADAS self-driving car, so that can improve the safety, you know, can save life. So that's why now the people is developing this ADAS and self-driving car. So I believe that so by using the by developing the self-driving car, so people, you know, can be safer for driving and driving the car. Yeah.
But the would you agree, the psychology of the driver, the mindset of the driver to give more and more autonomy to the vehicle, even if the technology is there, we're still maybe some years off from the driver saying, okay, I'll let the car do what it does best. I think for some people that would still be a challenge. And getting back to my example of the sensor in my car that keeps me the correct distance on the highway from the car in front of me, it did take me a month, a solid month, of when the traffic would start slowing down. I'd see all these red lights in front of me, red tail lights, and I would keep my foot hovering over the brake pedal. I'd keep my foot hovering over the brake pedal, thinking to myself, the car's going to slow down, right? The car's going to stop, right? Now, it always has, but I had to develop that level of trust to let it do it. And I would think that's one of the challenges we're looking at in the coming years, letting the driver let go, helping the driver to let go and let the car be safe. That's probably one of the challenges we're looking at in the coming years. Yes?
Yeah, I agree on that. So, you know, that may take some time, like years, for the, you know, for the customer, for the driver, 2 years, So which means people need some time to be familiar with this new technology, right? And also based on their driving practice, driving experience, so then they can learn, you know, how to use the ADAS system or self-driving car. But, you know, based on the statistic data, which means, so the government will collect the, you know, the accident data. So that data will show by using the self-driving car or the ADAS system. So actually the accident rate, you know, will be reduced a lot. So based on that statistic, So based on that, so people will learn, will know this information, then that can people, you know, to make people trust more and more for, you know, on the ADAS system or self-driving car system. Yeah. So that, yes, that's kind of common and normal for people to take years to, you know, to know them and to be familiar with them. But I believe, so because that's the self-driving car and also the ADAS system, so can, you know, reduce the accident rate and also can save a more and more life. So I believe, yeah. So people can use more, yeah.
I think that's such an interesting point about the lower accident rate. And when you think about accidents that are caused by drinking and driving or texting and driving or driver fatigue, it would, and all of the public good that more autonomous vehicles can do, do you think we should be adopting this technology faster than we are, or are we going as fast as the technology can allow us to go at this time?
Oh, I think we, you know, as the engineers and also as the research in the ADAS field, I believe we still need some time to make a high quality the self-driving car and also the ADAS system. Yeah, because the entire ADAS industry need you know, for example, do a lot of testing, you know, to make sure, you know, this new technology can work well in different conditions and in different test scenarios. So that can make our system, you know, more reliable here. So which means people need some time to be familiar with this new system, but also the engineers and also the different companies, they also need some time to make our, you know, the system more reliable.
So we're proceeding at the best pace that we can proceed at the moment. We're where we should be. In other words, we shouldn't be farther along. And that's really great. That's really great to hear. Tim Zhen, we just have a few minutes left here, but I'd love your thoughts. The Drive World Expo and Conference. This is a first of its kind on autonomous vehicles. And the people at Informa have put a lot of time and effort into this. This program, this conference, has actually been in development for 3 years. So let's say someone who doesn't know a lot about autonomous vehicles gets to Santa Clara in August 27th, and they stay for all 3 days. What should they walk out thinking? What should they walk out saying, I didn't know this, and now I do, and wow. What should they think?
I think the people will walk out of this conference. So I believe they will learn and they will know the technical trends and also the market trends in the industry, in ADAS industry and also the for self-driving car. So people will see a lot of demo. So that demo will show the capabilities and also the strengths, maybe also some weaknesses. Yeah, for this self-driving technology. Yeah.
In other words, where the technology is not yet, where it isn't.
Yeah, not yet. Right. And not yet, yeah, right. So which means people will learn the overview about the ADAS system driven car. But I think the most important thing is, so people will, okay, this conference will give people the confidence here. So we are facing, you know, we are facing the new, you know, era for the self-driving and also the ADAS system. So definitely, I believe, so we will use more and more ADAS technology to improve our safety, you know, for driving cars, yeah, and also for the transportation system.
Something I should have asked you at the beginning, and I'm usually better at this, what the ADAS acronym, what does that stand for the benefit of everyone listening?
Yeah, ADAS means automated driving assistance system, ADAS.
Automated driving
assistance system, yes. Yeah.
If there's one thing the human race will never run out of, it's acronyms. We're very good at that, coming up with more and more acronyms. ADAS, Automated Driving Assistance System.
Yes.
Well, Tim Zhen Shah, this has been extremely informative, and I'd like everyone to know that your talk at the Drive World Expo and Conference will be in Santa Clara, California, August 27th from 9 to 11. It's a two-hour talk where you're going to be talking in depth about the LiDAR technology in adverse weather conditions, where it is today, how it's being tested, and where it's going to be in the future. It's unclear right now if I'm going to be in Santa Clara. I don't think I will be. But I wish I were, and if I could make it, I'd certainly attend your talk. Tim Zhen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. It's really been appreciated, and have a great presentation on the 27th.
Hey, Jacob, thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Our pleasure.